It is Wednesday, October the 20th, and I am here in Carroll County with the registrar. So please state your name and your title, and then we'll begin with the first question.
All right, my name is Kimberly Cloud. I am the Director of Elections and General Registrar of Carroll County.
Great, thank you for meeting with us. And this is an opinion question. What is your greatest concern about the election cycle we're in?
Well, I think we've already discussed misinformation. There is so much misinformation out there, coming from all sides. Also, the third-party mailings have been a very big issue. We know when they hit the mailbox of voters. We hear from voters. Some are very upset with the implication of the third-party mailings and wanting to know why. They think it's from my office and it's not. We have to explain that.
Mm-hmm. I can see where that would be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other major concerns about staffing, volunteers, regulations coming from the Board of Elections, when they send regulations? You know, we've heard from some registrars that changes are made 24 hours before election night. You know, are there any things like that for your office in particular that are of concern?
No, other than the changes that are made too close to election day. That's hard to get a handle on sometimes. My staff, I am able to get what I need when I need it. Last year, of course, was the first election for early in-person voting, and I learned from that. And we had the June primary, which was not a big election in Carroll. This will be the next biggest that I've had, and I've learned a few things from it. So how to staff when I need it. I realize with early voting, we need to be ready before early voting starts on anything that I have to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have everything ready for my precincts, because when early voting starts, it's all about early voting, especially when the third party mailings hit the mailbox. We get calls. Numbers are increasing. I've had a few more in-person voters than I expected, and it's getting busier, of course, every day the closer we get to election. But I've had a few more voters than I expected, but I think that number will increase, and I did expect that, do expect that for it to increase, but lots of folks are taking advantage of it. So I think I'm well prepared.
Good, yeah. Good. So you feel like, and this is a yes or no question, you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run your office, and that
yes.
Means resources from the county, the state. Okay.
Yes, the county's been very supportive on anything that we need for elections.
Okay. The county electoral board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, but in some areas, boards have had trouble finding the right combination and have appointed independents or instead. What is the situation in this county? Are there two Democrats and a Republican?
There is.
Okay.
And we've always, as far as I know, the board has always been reflective of the governor's party.
What about precinct staff? Are you always able to have an equal number of Democrats and Republicans as officers in a precinct?
The electoral board takes care of getting our officers of election for election day, and they would be more aware to answer that question. And actually, I was supposed to have my chairman here, but I don't know if she's coming or not.
Okay.
She could answer that more precisely.
Okay. So that's a little different. So most registrars handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anyone say that the electoral board helps with that. So that's interesting that they're helping to recruit.
Right. Because of early voting, we did not have the time to devote to getting election officers. And here's my board chair now. Good morning. Come on
morning.
In.
Morning. Here you are.
Yes.
I went to your office.
Yes, they told you to come up here, didn't they?
And Sabrina said y'all were up here.
Yes. Come on in. This is Brenda Lindsay, the chair of the Carroll County Electoral Board.
Hi, Diana. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
So we're in our sixth question. We were just talking about the precinct staff. A little bit. I got here a little early and she started.
She was early.
I was early.
Well, I thought you said 10.
I did.
Yes. I didn't realize you were coming. She got started a little early. We would have waited for you.
Well, if you want to back up, it's fine. My boss knows. I'm working, but my boss knows. She works the polls, and so I called her, and she said, sure. So she knows. So if you want to back up, go ahead.
I think she's answered most of the questions because they were opinions about her as the registrar. We were just talking about the staffing of the electoral board, and the question was, are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans as the officers of the elections in each precinct?
Officers of election in each precinct. I think we are, don't you? Yeah.
You all have been doing it, so I'm not sure what their politics
are. So you have an equal number on each?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, can you tell me what your name is again?
Brenda. And you better put Ian in there because Brenda Diamond's on the board. She's a Brenda too. So Brenda N. Lindsay.
L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. And you're the chairwoman of the board.
Yes.
Well, that's what they call me.
So is the County Board of Elections engaged in work year-round or mostly during the elections?
Well, we've been meeting once a month, and we're into something about year-round. Yeah.
I think so. I think they're engaged year-round. As she said, they meet monthly. If something comes up, they can come in within a few days to address the situation.
And you post all the notices for the public meetings and the minutes on the website. Okay, perfect.
She sends us emails, and I'm just 5 minutes from here, so
that's convenient.
Here, and if the others can't get here,
we support each other. I think
that's good.
But if I need something from them, they're right there. If they need something from me, we work very well together.
And
all right,
there's the primary, and we were busy, and then there's a town. Well, the town's moved to November, but we're pretty busy all the time.
All right. When was the last audit of the voter file in your county?
I think it was June of this year.
Okay, and different localities handle this differently. Mm-hmm. Do you do a running audit each month where you're looking at the deceased individuals and you're pulling information, or do you wait till those lists come out from the State Board of Elections?
It's an everyday process. We are, we check the local newspapers as they come, one twice a week, one once a week. We're deleting people as their obituary appears. Sometimes people ask, have a preference to be removed from the rolls. We do that. It's a daily process.
Okay. And are you getting a list of the deceased people to your office every month from the Department of Health for the county?
No.
Are you aware that they're supposed to be sending you a list every month of all the deceased individuals?
I know we get that from the Department of Elections. If we miss someone, they match.
Correct.
The Social Security numbers, but I didn't know that.
Okay. When was the last time the clerk of the court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on the jury based on the status of being a non-citizen?
I've never received one. I don't believe that's required, is it?
Well, most rural counties don't have this issue, but in other localities, they would. When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
I think that was back in July of this year as well.
Okay.
That's a yearly process.
Are you confident that the voter file that you're working from is accurate and up-to-date to the best of your knowledge?
Yes. As I say, it's a day-in, day-out process. Of course, the books are closed now, but we would remove deceased voters if we became aware of them at this point. but we're constantly working with that file.
Do you have any households in your locality that have seven individuals registered or more registered at the same address, excluding group homes or nursing homes?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. I'm thinking we get the, when we register a voter, the voter notice prints out and we mail that. And if the person is not there, then the post office is supposed to return that to us. It's undeliverable. So I think that would be a good way to check that.
So when someone's registering to vote, how are you verifying that voters are citizens?
Well, most of our applications now come through DMV and come to us online automatically from DMV, and I believe they have to prove their citizenship there. If someone comes in person to register to vote, we ask for ID, and 99.5% of the people will show you their driver's license.
Okay. Okay, now this is more about voting machines and voting machine calibrations. Which of the three types of voting machines do you use?
We use the S200 and the Express Vote, and that's from Election E, S&S Election.
And does Atlantic calibrate? Do you have a third-party vendor, Atlantic, or who's your vendor to calibrate the machines?
For election audits and logic and accuracy testing.
Yes.
The Electoral Board has appointed some people to do LNA testing.
Well, who's the vendor who sets up the machines?
Print Elect. North Carolina.
Okay. That's what I was looking for.
Yes. Okay. I thought you meant Election Day.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
And you invite party representatives to witness the calibrations of the machines?
Yes.
Do they participate?
No.
So neither the Republican chairman or the Democrat chairman participate?
Never had anybody.
Are your voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No, ma'am. Absolutely not.
If they are not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
We have annual maintenance from PrintElect. Typically happens in the summer, and they come once a year with any updates.
Okay. Okay, so these questions are mostly about COVID and the pandemic and all of that entails, okay? As an election professional, do you think changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID, and this is your opinion, have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change?
On my end, I don't think it changed any. You might could answer how it affected Election Day.
I don't think it has, but I think you're having more people vote early, do the early voting, come into the office instead of getting out in the crowd and lines. People are still, you know, voting and wanting to vote.
As far as the integrity, I don't think that's changed at all.
Okay. All right. Even with not requiring witness signatures last year, did you feel like that affected anything at all with mail-in ballots? Did you have any incidences, anything that made you go,
No, I did not.
So no issues there.
That's one of the pluses of living in a rural community.
Yes. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training staff voter education equipment for any other purposes outside of the state of Virginia? So not including CARES Act funds. So some people got grants from the Center for Technology and Civic Life. Some people got grants through the Schwarzenegger Institute. Did you receive any grants last year?
Mm-hmm. We had one grant from the Civic Life.
Do you remember how much that was? Approximately. 14,000.
About 14.
And that was the only one y'all received?
Yes.
Okay.
What did you use the funding for?
We did several things.
Being specific here is a good thing, so if you could be more specific.
Tables.
Okay.
A tent. Didn't we get a tent and tables and Well, no, let's see. Did the shields come under that? Mm-hmm. And hand sanitizers?
So the PPE.
Yes.
Did you hire additional staff or additional electoral election officers or anything like that?
We didn't hire additional staff in the office, but they did provide them with hazard pay. The officers that worked in November was provided with hazard pay.
Right.
Some hazard pay.
I forgot that.
Okay. So effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have the witness signature. We already talked about that. The governor has now rescinded that state of emergency, and so now witness signature is required again. So how are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming elections?
Well, we can't match a witness signature, you know, but we do look at the voter signature when the ballot comes in.
And you're making sure that there's a witness signature.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, I've got probably four or five right now waiting to be cured.
Okay.
Lacking a witness signature.
Okay. I know some localities are highlighting the witness signature when they're mailing the ballots out so that people don't miss that. Are you doing anything like that?
No.
Okay. Number 22, there's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. Where are your drop boxes located, and what are the chain of custody procedures?
We have the one drop box before Election Day located in my office.
Okay.
And we use the chain of custody form provided by the Department of Elections to retrieve those ballots. And two officers retrieve the ballots, bring them to me, and I count after them, and then we process them from there. Then on Election Day, of course, we'll have drop boxes at each precinct, and they will use the same Department of Elections form to as a chain of custody from the precinct.
Okay, and how will they be transported? In someone's vehicle?
Yes.
And will there be two witnesses in the vehicle, or which kind of y'all's plan for that? These are things that probably weren't thought through last
mm-hmm.
year, and so just curious what your plan is, because everybody's got a different plan.
Well, they bring them back in the chief. Brings them back in their vehicle.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if there's two people.
Are they still sealed? Are they bringing them back sealed, or
is
someone counting them?
The drop box is locked. Yeah.
Okay, so your plan is that the drop box would remain locked until it comes back to the cab
office.
They'll
open them and count them and seal, lock the box back, and then they'll come here and turn it over to the electoral board.
Okay. Was there any time during the last, so you said the registrar's office is the only place, and then the on election day. Was there any time during the election cycle when drop boxes didn't have video monitoring? Okay, because you're in the registrar's office. Okay. Is there a video camera in your office? Okay, there is, yes. And who would be the person, if there was an issue, who could access that? Is it you? Is it the sheriff's department? Does the sheriff's department, as some localities have, the sheriff's department is always video monitoring, or no?
No.
Okay. Now we're moving on to training and outside groups, and then we'll be done.
Okay.
So in the Section Code of Virginia 24.2-604.3, it allows for you to provide training and support and designate other groups to provide training support, including an Election Day page program. So some localities have high school students who come and do a page program. Do you all do that?
We do.
Okay. You do one every year?
I do. I don't get a lot of participation, but I do offer it.
Okay. You're also given the authority as the registrar to allow nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives to come in and observe the election.
Mm-hmm.
So in some localities, they have foreigners that come from other countries that are looking at how we do elections here in Virginia, so the registrar gives approval for that. Would you also give approval for these types of things, or have you done that in the past?
We've never had any outside the country to observe, and if the Department of Elections gives the authority to allow that, then yes, I think the electoral board would agree to.
What about other nonpartisan groups? So if there were groups bringing in first-time voters to be observers or students to be observers, and they were nonpartisan nonprofit groups, would you say yes to that, or would you refer to the electoral board for that? Because the authority rests in the registrar, not the electoral board.
Oh, well, I would get their okay first if it was okay with them. I think so. If they,
yes.
And I think it would be good to encourage high school
young
students
people to vote,
to,
yes.
Yeah, hinder the process because some of our locations are small. I mean, if you bring in a group of 20 people, that would be a concern, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we want to keep the process moving.
So as long as it doesn't hinder the process. That's understandable. So would you ever authorize an international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring? This is like organizations like the United Nations or different types of international organizations. Would you authorize them to come?
I think I would clarify through the Department of Elections first that would be okay. And then with their blessing, I would do it.
Okay. Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it has been open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
I have notified them of the LNA testing and the pre-processing. I'm not sure. Can they, let's see, what question is that?
Number 28.
Yeah, they would be welcome to come. If they wanted to, but again, I have a small office, so I couldn't handle a lot of observers.
Okay.
But they would be welcome to come.
But you haven't had a Republican or a Democrat observing since it began?
No, I've never. Not last year. We have had party observers at the polls in the past. Mm.
But not in your office?
Not in my office, but we have had them at the polls, but not in my office.
Do you have a publication that you give to election officials regarding rights and responsibilities that's your own Carroll County book, or do you use the State Board of Elections? Okay. State. Everyone uses that one.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes. would you be willing to distribute a publication that other groups prepared based on the Virginia law? If you reviewed it and your electoral board reviewed it and you felt like it was good material or training, or would you prefer to stick to the State Board of Elections?
I would prefer to stick to the State Board's ruling.
All right. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.